All right, well, welcome, Madeline. We have Madeline Gilbert today, and I am super excited to hear more from her. I have a lot of questions. But Madeline, in your own words, who are you? What do you do, and what mission are you on?
Okay, so currently I'm actually still a student, but I work for the University of Hawaii Esports Program. I'm the player support coordinator, so I manage all of our teams and I deal with any internal issues, communication with admin and leadership, and kind of just make sure everything's running okay. I'm also the initiative coordinator of WUI, which is our Women of UHE. So I'm supporting women in our community, and not just women, but also marginalized genders kind of fall under that category, mm-hmm. to make sure that they're being included, that they're getting the same opportunities, that we can give them a safe place to be in. And it's been super rewarding. So I think my mission is really just to keep building that space as it's something that's quite new, and then also improve our program to be the best that it possibly can be.
Love it. I am so intrigued by your story in so many ways. One, because you're a student. I really love that, because you're in it, and your perspective is so unique that I really want to dig into just how you see the future of all of this soon. Could you just tell us a little bit more about your collegiate program? What titles are you guys playing? How many players do you have on your rosters? What's it structured like?
Yeah, so we have our community like Discord and our space that is, I don't know the exact number. I think there's around 1,000 people in it.
Wow.
500 to 1,000, something like that. It's very vague. But our varsity program, which is where all of our kind of games lie and our like major competition space, has about 90 people in it. We have seven games that we run, and in each one it's a team of five players, usually with a team lead and a coach. Okay. And above that is our leadership. We have a arena operations manager who's like absolutely fantastic. She runs our actual, we have an arena on campus where we have PCs and an Xbox and a PlayStation. We have our Smash setup, just a place that was open to the public during the semesters, and then also is for our teams to use. So she just completely runs that. And then we have a content director who just does all of our content stuff, a broadcast director, and then our director of our program and assistant director of the program. So we're quite a lot of people.
Yep. Tell me now a little bit more about your involvement in designing the spaces that are impacting the female students that are involved. What have you done to bring them in? How are you encouraging participation, fostering growth?
Sure. I think when I first came on, I came on as a content manager, and unfortunately, there was already a lot of women in our program, and that was really specifically in content. There was quite a few awesome women who were like running the scene and doing all of that kind of stuff, but there was no women really in the upper kind of leadership areas, and so it was such a great opportunity that I was able to kind of get in there, because I think the moment that I'm in a position of like, not power, but I have this like ability to do certain things, and people can look up to me or can listen to me and stuff like that, they can feel more comfortable because I am a woman. And now, instead of just having men that they would have to go to if there's an issue in their teams, if there is a issue in the iLab or stuff like that, they have like myself and then my coworker Allie, who runs the iLab, to come to. And because I think it's a lot easier to come to women sometimes, especially if they are women, and it feels more comfortable. So that's like the bare minimum, but I'm super happy to have that. And then the whole reason I decided to create a program for women in our community was just to support the women in our community, because I noticed that whenever we were kind of around more, or if we were in like certain voice chats or stuff like that, women were more likely or felt more comfortable to join in, instead of it just being, because mainly male dominated can be quite intimidating. And I understand that, but seeing that there are so many women in our program that don't really have a voice or are kind of like on the outside a little, that don't really get to speak up, I really wanted to create a space that they could do that and they could have an opinion and they can like go directly to me or talk to other people or get these opportunities.
If we could sort of zoom out a little bit from the collegiate space, as a student, as someone who's really in it and is looking, you know, in the next 5-10 years down the line, when you think about high school, college, that amateur space too, what do you think are some initiatives or strategies that we could start implementing more that would sort of bridge that gap to make these pathways a little bit easier for those that are aspiring to be esports athletes or enthusiasts?
Yeah, of course. I'm in the middle of doing research because I traveled to Japan to explore education in Japan, what esports looks like in Japan, and kind of connect it to Hawaii and how we can develop it here. So a lot of what I'm doing with my director is planning to visit high schools and middle schools and talk to the kids there, because I think the main thing is that people just don't know that our program exists, even on the island, because it's quite like local here. Everyone knows everything, but like no one on our campus really knows we're here, and it's really weird. And I think it's the same for a lot of other things. No one knows that there are job opportunities in these esports.
Right.
And so my main goal right now is creating like presentations and being able to go to the like Laura Education and talk to the kids and like just let them know that this is a thing. Like this exists. We're here to support you. We want you to come to us, or we want you to come like visit other esports like programs or anything like that. You don't have to just be a professional gamer. You can like work in all these different kind of aspects of esports. And that's super exciting to me. And because like I'm in a position where a lot of my friends are graduating and then having a hard time getting a job after college, and that's quite scary. I want to do my best to make sure that these opportunities, these internships, everything that we can build like a portfolio for these students are easily available, and they can start in high school and
totally,
or, like, they can start thinking about it in middle school and get excited about it, but also just be informed, because I think there's an extreme lack of information. And if we really want to build the esports space to be the best that it possibly can be, because it's really in the early stages right now, we need to go to lower education and we need to talk to the next generations that will be taking over other people's jobs or building the esports space even more.
Yeah. And those teachers too, sometimes, and parents, right? It's not, I mean, sometimes the students themselves are the most informed and most excited, and because there's some of them are hearing those conversations online with streamers or content creators, or they're watching something with a professional athlete and casters and things like that. And I feel like students maybe see a glimpse of it that their parents are hard to support, maybe they don't quite fully understand that this could be a full-time job if they took it seriously, not maybe playing the game, but in some way supporting that scene. Yeah, I totally agree. There's so much education to be done, just I think in society, to help support kids that are really interested and also really gifted and also just passionate about this. They want to do it. Maybe could you explore for a second, what do you think are some biases that you've seen, maybe just in your local area, about esports, and what have you done to sort of challenge, or what do you sort of think of those things when you hear maybe people that don't really understand esports or where it could go or where it's at? What have you seen?
Yeah, I think it's surprising because it's Hawaii, and and you wouldn't think there's such a big gaming like space on the island, but there's actually quite a lot of people that are into gaming and quite accepting of it. So the narrative of esports and working in esports and stuff like that isn't that negative here. People are quite accepting and it's less like stigmatized. However, like especially when I traveled to Japan or even being on the mainland, there's a lot of just like general people just don't know what esports is, and no one's really been that clear about describing exactly what it is. And even now there isn't really a great structure for esports and for businesses and stuff like that, right. As we've seen with like
totally
layoffs, mm-hmm. which is super frustrating because you can see what big empire this can become, and hopefully we're gonna evolve and change. So
I think this is a reset. That's my hope. Is that things haven't worked for so long. Let's like, I feel like sometimes the universe just resets it for us, right? Like, let's just scrap this. And it, obviously, there's some really hard consequences. But I do think rebuilding, or some of those people that go on to do other things after that org or after that event, I do think build these new fresh perspectives too. Sometimes we just have to like let go of this kind of like old narrative. I mean, this boys club sort of narrative that's been around forever is not like, it just can't go on. Like, the world's changing. Things need to keep up. So I'm hoping that the empire is still there. Obviously, the potential has not gone away. But how we structure it and what we think about it in the future, I think, has to change. And I think that's what's sort of happening right now, which is exciting, but it's sort of a painful experience for those that have watched it. It sort of seems like, oh no, things are crumbling. But I do think maybe something can bloom from this.
No, I have really high hopes for
I do
like everything, basically. And even like going into Japan, like a lot of my, because Japan esports is even like, it's so far behind what it is in like America and other parts of the world that what was really exciting for me while doing this research was looking at this and going, this country has like the best opportunity to look at everyone else's mistakes and build esports like empire just from the beginning the right way, or like the a better way, like, where it's actually sustainable beneficial. Mm-hmm. And even though Japan is behind, it's really exciting for me because I'm like, they have this great opportunity and they don't have to go through the mistakes of like America or like other countries in Europe and stuff like that, which is such an awesome like thing to see. And it's very inspirational, especially me as a student and with my mission of kind of like helping students around me, and especially students in high school, is how can we prepare them for like the jobs that could possibly be in the future, or what to look out for, or stuff like that.
Yeah. Well, what resources or support systems do you think are necessary to empower and guide students that are interested in this, and maybe specifically the like more marginalized genders?
Yeah, I'm not exactly sure. I think like schools are already starting to kind of take on clubs that involve esports and stuff like that, but there's a really heavy lean on the professional aspect of esports, which is really important, but it's like the, you know, the point like 0.01% of players are actually going to make it pro. And so it's not like reliable, and no parent and no teacher is going to look at that and say that makes sense for a job. So I think if we can kind of either reach out through any kind of media, like posters or just emails, or like just talking to people and having these kind of conversations of like, this is what esports looks like how can we help your school kind of like have this thing here, or like develop it more. Or there's even been some like really exciting developments where NACEF, the National Esports Federation, they started doing like implementing gaming in schools by using Minecraft and learning coding through Minecraft. And it's like all this super interesting stuff that maybe gets the students more engaged. Same in Japan, like to teach English, that they've been using esports or streamers or stuff like that to get kids more interested in learning English and speaking English. And those kind of ways of making it catered towards the students and not just rigid in kind of the traditional ways we would teach things, I think is also really important to start implementing this new thing.
Yeah, and it sounds like some of those support systems still need to be built. Like, we're still sort of figuring out what we need, and
absolutely,
and it's going to be different for everybody, obviously. But it does sound like too, just bringing esports in a really organic, natural way, like, you know, just bring that title to students is sort of that first step too. That's just I think it just validates students beyond just, you know, they may not have that at home. Having your teacher sit there and play Minecraft with you while you're learning something, it just validates that interest, which can go so far for a kid. Or Fortnite. Like, I love when teachers use sort of like Fortnite or something like that in creative modes where they're, you know, they can do it in school or they can do it in their club, because it's just so validating for a kid to like really love something and then show off in it. I agree with you. I think there's still a lot to be done. I'm curious though. What about you personally? Where do you feel like you're going after this? So I know graduation is probably a little far away, but like, what do you aspire to be?
Yeah. It's like the dreaded question for every student. But So currently I'm a Japanese major. So I have hopes of kind of connecting my job in esports and then also my major in this language and this culture.
Okay.
And hopefully working in Japan in some kind of area. Mm-hmm. I don't like to keep things that set in stone because things like change so often, but I'm always like a backup plan girl. So I cannot tell you what I'm even doing like next year. I have no idea, but no, I know like I have the structure around it to make sure I'm not going to fail or like things aren't going to go south.
Oh, yeah.
But I have nothing like set in stone. And I think that's the best way to go about it, because when you're a student and when you're kind of in my position, mm-hmm. things change so suddenly and can completely flip you upside down. And if you have hopes of like doing this one specific thing and it doesn't go well, mm-hmm. it can be like soul crushing.
Totally.
And so I think it's better to have an open mind and to have some structure to say, oh, I want to reach this, like I want to move to Japan, but how I'm going to get there, what's going to happen, not sure yet.
Love
but
it.
But just having something where you still have a purpose, but you're not completely set on what's going to happen, I think is really important. So that's my best answer.
Love it. Yeah. I love the way you think. Yeah. And I think that's probably true for professionals. Working in esports too, I've learned that sort of being a jack of all trades or being flexible in how you identify yourself as a coach, as a player, as a like if you can do, the more you can do and sort of learn from the people around you, the more opportunities sort of come your way and you sort of diversify who you are and what you can do. Your expertise can shift, and I think esports is sort of built with people like that. I'm gonna ask you one more question, and it's gonna be a future question. If you could close your eyes and just sort of re-envision this, we've talked about this a little bit already. What would be your vision for competition in gaming?
I could not tell you. Things like, I think because games change so frequently, they're not, we have all these like conversations about intellectual property and the fact that like the developers of games can just take away the game and then it takes away this whole structure that we've built around this game is absolutely terrifying. But because of that, I don't know what's gonna happen. I'm kind of like, I think esports changes so rapidly and things are developing like so often and so many games are kind of being introduced or taken away that even like thinking about the future, I'm always like, oh, probably like 50 years in the future or something like that. But even for esports, I'm like, I don't know what's going to happen in a year from now. Like mobile gaming is just kind of
that's
taking
the
off.
Long term. Yeah,
there's like the Olympics event that just mm-hmm. happened in,
yeah.
in where is that, in Shanghai, or it wasn't in China,
was it Singapore?
I think Singapore.
Yeah
but like that's insane, and so it's really hard to think like what's going to happen in the future. I think my dream, especially for like the collegiate space, is that there's more programs and that kind of maybe gender is a little more equal in the playing field, as in like women are kind of more normalized to be in this community. There are more women in esports in general, more marginalized genders. But for professional gaming, I have no idea. I hope it's good. If anyone from the future, like, let us know.
People like you, graduating, you know, becoming XYZ, who knows what it'll be. I think that's exciting too. We just don't know. You're right. There could be a new game that comes out at the end of the year that's just unreleased too, that just changes everything. I think gamers in general are pretty flexible with how the landscape changes. And I think it's exciting. VR, even AI, how is this all going to play out in the next 5 years even? Yeah, like that's long-term for esports. Like I'm excited too, just to sit back and watch it evolve. How can we follow your programs or get involved or get in contact with you?
Sure. I think the best way is probably linking our Discords. That's our main community space. We have our massive UH Esports Discord that is like open to everyone. And then we have our marginalized genders Discord, which is open to marginalized genders, but you don't have to be a student. You can be someone in the industry or a high schooler or whatever, quite open to having anyone in the community just kind of join in. So I'd love to link those. We're just at the start of the semester, so it's quite busy right now because we're preparing for tryouts and kind of starting our season off. So if you're interested in collegiate events or stuff like that, I would just keep a lookout for the University of Hawaii. But yeah, that's kind of it. I think we have a lot in tune for this year, but it's all kind of like, it's just in the start of planning and kind of coming up. So there's going to be a lot more happening.
All right. Well, we'll stay tuned because there's a lot cooking over there. I'm really excited for what you guys are going to do the next long term 2 to 3 years. Since you guys have built so much already, you guys have such a good thing going. I can't wait to see where this momentum takes you all. Thank you so much, Madeline, for sharing. And I'm going to probably hop in your Discord and say hello soon. But thanks again for having, or thanks again for sharing your story today. You.